Berg is next. And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Not long ago, I received an intriguing email from Carolyn Frisch, who is well known to many of you, I'm sure, as the Chief Executive Officer of the United Way of Kenosha County. And Carolyn Frisch has been on the morning show before, most recently, I think, to talk about United Way of Kenosha County's 100th anniversary. And was that last year?
It was actually 2 years ago, but
yes. 2 years ago. Time flies.
Great memory.
So Carolyn Frisch reached out because she thought it would be fun for the morning show to highlight an intriguing partnership that occurred between United Way of Kenosha County and the University of Wisconsin Parkside, and specifically UW Parkside's community-based learning program, and a project that was created to serve not only United Way, but other nonprofits and agencies in the community. Essentially an online map, an interactive map that could help the citizens of Kenosha County sort of navigate what is out there in terms of services and resources. And so we're going to actually be talking with a total of six people today about various aspects of this collaboration and partnership and project. First of all, of course, the aforementioned Carolyn Frisch, again, Chief Executive Officer of the United Way of Kenosha County. Right next to her, representing the University of Wisconsin Parkside, we have several Parkside people with us, but Amy Garrigan, who is a community engagement specialist within that Parkside community-based learning program, we also have with us a faculty member from Parkside, Dr. Caitlin Whitaker, Associate Professor of Geography and Anthropology. And it was within a class that she teaches, a course called GIS and Communities, that this specific project, this interactive online map, was created. And finally, joining us in this portion of the morning show, Javon Clausen, who is part of the United Way family. She is Senior Director of Community Impact Operations. And I'm so glad that all of you can be with us. And in part two, which we'll get to in just a little bit, we will have a student from Parkside and someone out in the nonprofit sector of the community talking about sort of the other end of all of this. But we welcome all four of you for part one of today's morning show. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So Carolyn Frisch, first of all, I was so glad you reached out to me to tell me about this really fun partnership. Maybe right off the bat, it would be helpful for folks listening to have a clearer idea of United Way of Kenosha County. It's certainly a name that is very, very familiar to everyone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody listening understands the scope of everything that United Way does.
Sure. Thank you, Greg. Thank you for this opportunity. United Way of Kenosha County, we seek to bring our community together to unify voices and amplify impact. And we do that by maximizing resources, whether that be donations that we receive from individuals and corporations, or the time and talent of our volunteers. And we do that mostly through community collaboration. We collaborate with pretty much any entity in our community, from government to non-governmental organizations and businesses, to ensure that folks in our community have access to resources in education, financial stability, basic needs, and health. And so all of the work that we do kind of comes together in that vein of ensuring that we're bringing folks together, using those resources most effectively, and ensuring the greatest possible impact for our community.
You know, I don't think until you said what you just said did it ever occur to me how important the word united is in United Way. I mean, what you have just outlined is really underscores the fact that this is not so much about what the United Way itself in splendid isolation accomplishes or does for people, but you enable all kinds of really valuable connections that make all kinds of things possible that wouldn't be possible if it was all on the shoulders of the United Way itself.
Correct. Yes. And, we've been uniting folks for now, 102 years, and it's absolutely amazing to be part of an organization that's able to put all these different components together to help out our community. And some of that can be through philanthropic support in terms of our community investment program, which I won't go into greatly, but that is one of the many roles that Javon Clausen plays within our organization, is ensuring that our grantees that we work with, that we're giving the grants that we have the most possible impact within their organization as well. It's this ripple effect that ensures that folks in our community get access to the resources that they need, and ultimately so that our community can thrive. That is what we're looking for, and we know that all of the partners that we work with, whether it be University of Wisconsin Parkside and others, that we're all working towards that same common goal. And it's exciting and exhilarating every day to be able to work with great partners like Amy and Dr. Whitaker in our community.
Fantastic. Javon Clausen, you are Senior Director of Community Impact Operations. Can you summarize what your most critical responsibilities are for United Way?
Sure. So my primary responsibility as community impact is to oversee our grant process. So our donors entrust us with their hard-earned money, and we want to, through a competitive grant process, ensure that the funds that they've donated to us are redistributed throughout the community in a way that's going to make the most impact. So we're making sure that where those funds go are to nonprofit organizations that are going to be responsible, that are actually making change in the community. And so I oversee that process with a group of volunteers in the community. United Way, ourselves, Javon, Carolyn, do not choose where those funds go. We have volunteers throughout the community who are engaged with our community, and they determine, based on the information they receive in grants, and where those funds should be distributed back out to the community.
Excellent. So at some point, it sounds like a very concerted gesture was made towards the University of Wisconsin Parkside, who I suspect you have, with whom you have collaborated any number of times over the years. But my understanding is that you reached out to Parkside because of a very specific need that you saw. So tell us about that overture to Parkside and what prompted it.
Sure. So United Way, and me specifically, since I joined the United Way, have been a member of the Community and Business Engagement Advisory Board. And so we are always looking for ways, as Carolyn mentioned, to connect with community. And at the United Way, we receive quite a few phone calls or people actually coming into our office looking for services, whether it be housing services or food. And we don't provide those services at our office. And so we are always having to send people out to other partners. And so we were at a meeting, and I had heard about another GIS project that had happened, which was the Quilts on Barns. And I started thinking about how we could do the same thing, but for our community partners, those nonprofits that we invest in. If people could go to our website or go to a website and see all of the services in the community. And so that's where it started.
And so you reached out then to Parkside, thinking that there would be somebody there who might be able to be of assistance. At this point, we're going to bring in Amy Garrigan, who is a community engagement specialist with the University of Wisconsin Parkside. And exactly which office do you work within?
So I work in our Office of Community and Business Engagement. And as Javon said, she serves on our advisory board. And we're so grateful for all of our advisory board members who kind of help us know what is going on in the community that Parkside can partner with to make happen or make better. So when Parkside came to, or sorry, when United Way came to me and sort of said, hey, we're interested in partnering, we have this sort of issue. My job, I sort of sometimes joke, I'm kind of like a matchmaker on campus. I hear what some of the community needs are, and then I think, oh, this class or this faculty member has that expertise, and I help make those connections. So right away, I knew that Dr. Whitaker and her class would be, you know, the perfect partner for this type of project. So I was really excited to make that connection.
Love it. Before we talk about this very specific partnership, give us a few examples, if you would, of somebody who might potentially reach out to you and or your office seeking some kind of assistance. Do a couple of interesting real-life examples come to mind?
Well, sure. Community-based learning, or we call it CBL for short, at Parkside, we've been doing this type of work, this type of teaching and learning at Parkside for years. And so last year, we had around 1,000 students that participated in 40 different community-based learning courses last year. We partnered with over 67 different community organizations, and the projects really varied based on the academic content of the course, because all of these are course-related. So students are learning their academic content while also applying it to a project.
Just to clarify, so these are courses that exist very specifically with this ultimate goal in mind. It's not just one thing they do in this course, but the course really exists primarily for the sake of this kind of community-based learning to occur.
Yeah, it varies. You know, in some courses, maybe if it's a gen ed course, a general education course, the project maybe is a smaller component of the course. But if it's an upper division level course, then it really is often the entire course, and it's a large percentage of the grade, and it is like a semester long. So we have courses in market research and market promotions in our marketing department. We have HR courses that actually have also partnered with United Way in the past. We also have a health and nutrition course that sends students out to volunteer at some of our food pantries or local gardens, you know, community gardens. So the type of work that students do really varies based on the course content and the learning goals of the course.
Very good. So tell us your recollection then. Did you hear from Javon Clausen specifically? And what do you remember about that first connection and her inquiry made to Parkside?
Well, I remember that we were celebrating Dr. Whitaker and her students' work in partnership with the Racine Arts Council and their Quilts on Barns. So we were sort of lifting up the work that students had done in a previous semester. And I remember Javon, and so it began being on our advisory board, and at an event that we do each year at Parkside called our Community Partnership Celebration, there was an opportunity for some networking. And at that point, that's where we were able to connect Dr. Whitaker with United Way, and then they just sort of hit it off from there. And it was a very easy project for me to support because the goals were so clearly aligned.
Absolutely. And it's part and parcel to what's been so important to Parkside for a long, long time now. So we bring in Dr. Caitlin Whitaker, Associate Professor of Geography and Anthropology. And it sounds like what was sort of the central focus of this particular collaboration we're talking about today is your GIS and Communities class. So first of all, tell us what this course is all about, what it seeks to accomplish for the students that enroll in it.
Sure. I think first and foremost, I should tell everybody what GIS is, because it's not something that everybody knows what that means. It stands for Geographic Information Systems, and I like to call it fancy computer mapping, essentially. we're using a computer program that allows us to analyze different map layers and then put them together and make new findings and new understandings of that mapped information, and sometimes create web presence for online maps that can help put those things out into the world.
And I would love to have you explain what I think Javon and Amy have both made mention of, namely apparently a project that stemmed out of your class that involved some of the quilt barns that are seen around the area.
Yeah, so I developed this course, GIS and Communities, because a lot of the work that students do is behind the computer screen. You know, it's like doing a lab, putting map layers together in the software, but it's maybe not immediately obvious that those things can impact people in the real world. And how might that work impact people in the real world if they do that in their career after school? And so I also wanted to make sure they were armed with like an ethical perspective on how to do that, so that if they're engaging with people and putting them on the map, they're making sure that they're well represented, and not just sort of making their own decisions as the mapper, but also thinking about who's really impacted by that map. And so our partnership with the Racine Arts Council took place in 2022, also with great assistance from Amy to sort of connect us together. And throughout Racine County, since I think 2008, the Racine Arts Council has been working with local barn owners to put up these sort of wooden barn quilts. And they, especially during COVID times, they really were emphasizing that people should be touring these, but there wasn't a good mechanism for people to know where they were or maybe the history of the barn owners who have this quilt. So we really partnered with them to develop an online interactive map of all of those barn quilts, and also the stories behind how that project got started, the stories behind the individual barn owners and their family history and how that connects to the particular quilt that they have, so that people can more easily visit those very, amazing pieces of art, public art throughout Racine County.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So that is another example of the kind of thing that you can potentially create with this thing called GIS or Geographic Information Systems. Mm-hmm. So what is your recollection of the first questions that came to you from Javon Clausen from United Way in terms of what she was interested in, what the United Way was interested in having?
Right. And so I think as Amy mentioned, we sort of made our initial partnership with United Way at that annual nonprofit breakfast, it was called. I forget the new name for it. There was this identified need that essentially people were looking for services that United Way does support through this grant program that they have to support nonprofit partners, but they were showing up at the wrong place for those services, because United Way, supports organizations that do those things, but they're not the right place to go for them. So we really heard a lot more about that community investment program that they do and all of the amazing nonprofit organizations that they serve in Kenosha County. And we started thinking about, well, how can we highlight those different organizations and maybe make an interactive online map that people would be able to find, learn more about those organizations right on the United Way website, so that instead of showing up at the office at the wrong place for those services, they would, before even going to the wrong place, they would be able to find what they needed by looking online.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so this is more than just a big list.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a map because, as you said, the need was for people to know where to go. And sometimes a map, probably most of the time, a map is the most valuable tool. And so in a couple of minutes, we're going to be meeting one of the students in your class, and we will hear more about this. Before Carolyn and Amy slip away, I wonder if any of you have anything you want to specifically add about what this partnership has been and your appreciation of the final project, which we'll eventually be talking about.
Well, I'm just always amazed at what our students can do in, you know, both academically and professionally. So you'll get to hear a little bit more about that. But it's always exciting for me to see, you know, our students succeed. And I'm just so grateful for our partners who work as, you know, we call them co-educators, because they're really teaching our students a lot as well, about, you know, how to interact like professionally with a client. They practice those communication skills. They have to think critically about what they're hearing, you know, the client needs, but then how are they going to make that work within the confines of this, you know, software. So having those opportunities outside of a textbook or, you know, a theoretical assignment for students is so valuable. And so I'm really grateful to our partners at United Way for spending time with our students and helping them have those sort of experiences.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I would echo what Amy has to say in terms of, you know, the students being so helpful to us. And, you know, we brought them a problem and they were able to solve it for us. And that's absolutely amazing. And not only in terms of ensuring that folks in our community have access to that information, but we're also able to amplify the great work of our community investment partners that we have, because that is another key feature of the work that myself and the team are doing, is ensuring that folks know more about the great work that the nonprofits in our community are doing.
Very good.
And Greg, if I can just add one last thing, I would invite, you know, if there's someone listening today that thinks I would really like to connect with Parkside, they can certainly reach out to the Community and Business Engagement Office. But we also invite all of our community organizations to come to our Community Partnership Celebration. It's going to be Friday, April 11th this year, held at Parkside. The event is free, but registration is required, and that link is also on our website. So we would love to have your listeners attend and, you know, perhaps connect with a faculty member for a project of their own.
Very good. Amy Garrigan is Community Engagement Specialist at the University of Wisconsin Parkside, and Carolyn Frisch is Chief Executive Officer for the United Way of Kenosha County. We're going to bid them farewell and be back with part two of today's program in just a moment. You're listening to The Morning Show on WGTD. And for part two of today's program, we have now in our studios, first of all, Tamara Coleman, who has been on the morning show before, former executive director of the Shalom Center, now currently the CEO of the Racine YMCA. And Tamara Coleman, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good that you can be here. And we have in some ways, the true star of the show, if we want to say that, is a Parkside student, Calista Butkiewicz, who is a junior environmental studies major at UW-Parkside with an emphasis in geography. And she was a student in Professor Whitaker's GIS and Communities class. And she would have been one of the students who had a real hands-on role in the creation of this interactive online map that we have been talking about. Calista, it's great to have you here as well.
Hi, yes, thank you.
Great to have you here. Great to have you here. So Professor Whitaker, maybe you could say just a little bit more about this class, the sort of way in which the students work together on this and other projects.
Sure. And I think any community-based learning class is really different from a normal class. You know, normally I would structure, okay, this is what we're doing this week, this is what the readings are, this is what the assignment are. But working with real partners, you have to sort of be more flexible to go with the flow and, you know, rearrange things as the partners' needs change and things like that. So one of our first steps was having Javon and Carolyn come to campus on like our first day of classes and really explain to us more in depth what they were looking for out of our partnership, and to meet with the students and give the students a chance to ask them more questions about how they could help facilitate what United Way needed. And then we sort of brainstormed based on that with the students, like, okay, now how do we manage this? Like, how are we going to split each other up to actually achieve these goals. And we ended up splitting up the class into groups based on the key pillars that United Way focuses on. So health, financial sustainability, and education. And so each group of students sort of focused on the organizations that United Way partners with that achieve those goals, one of which was the Shalom Center. And they were able to sort of make a draft interactive map of each of those areas by first engaging with those different community partners and like getting pictures from them to in order to put them on the map, learning much more in depth what they do. And even, you know, Calista had set up a Zoom interview with one of them in order to get those details to make sure we were representing them correctly. So that was sort of the first part of the semester. And then we went back to the United Way and we said, listen, this is the draft that we have of a couple different options for you. Do you like it? What would you change? What would you like it to look like in the end based on these options that we've provided for you? So there was a lot of interaction to make sure that we were on the right path. Mm. And we also did field trips to, I think, 4 or 5 of the community organizations to make sure that the students knew, like, well, what is this real place that I'm putting on the map, you know, and who are the people who are going to be helped or impacted by us documenting the organization on the map and putting it out there.
Wow, mm-hmm. Fantastic. So at this point, I want to bring in Tamara Coleman, who would be, I presume, one of the people out in the community with whom you directly connected. And at the time that this project was launched, were you still with the Shalom Center?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
So first of all, for the sake of anybody listening, maybe you can give a capsule summary of all that the Shalom Center does for the community.
Okay, absolutely. Happy to do that. First, again, thanks for, I'm so appreciative of United Way and being a thought partner in this project with them and helping them along their journey of this mapping. The Shalom Center is the only homeless shelter in Kenosha County. We're an 82-bed facility, 24/7 shelter. We also have 8 families that can stay in our shelter. We also are the longest-running soup kitchen. We've served 365 days a year. We never close, rain, hail, sleet, or snow. Mm. And we've been around since 1982.
Wow.
And then we also have the largest food pantry distributions program, where we serve about 11,500 unduplicated households a year. And last year in 2024, we saw record numbers. So our report will be coming out shortly for our 2024 impact reports, and it's already above the 11,500.
Wow.
And then we also, in March of 2024, we opened up our community resource center, our Hope Hub, which is a center that's really a connector and a one-stop shop for those that are facing homelessness, but also just families that are in need.
Mm.
And this map came at the perfect time, and this partnership with United Way was the perfect timing for us to launch our Hope Center, kind of like a one-stop in-person place, and then of course United Way with this project. It was the perfect timing. We pride ourselves at the Shalom Center of knowing all the health and human service programs and opportunities that there are for community members in our community that are needing assistance, unsheltered or not. And this map is now allowing us to actually go a little bit deeper and put this app on some of our own clients', you know, their phones or their tablets or what have you, to be able to, if you're not at the Hope Hub and you're not in our presence, you still have another outlet and another place to go. And I love 211, and so this to me is just an enhancement of 211, which is another United Way platform for connecting people with services. It's all about connecting,
mm-hmm.
right? It's all about
yeah.
that, you know, giving people what they need to be connected to the services. And I was so happy to be able to be a part of this project. Shalom Center we're a pillar in the community just like United Way, and it was great to be able to partner on this amazing project.
What's your recollection of your initial contact in terms of this project? I mean, what were you told about what was being created and what was most intriguing to you?
An interactive map. No paper, okay? No brochures, no flyers, no business cards. It was all interactive. We as people, we use our phones for everything. We use, you know, technology is everywhere. You go to the doctor's office, you're checking in on a tablet. Everything is technology, right? And we were just coming off of our 1 year of bringing our food pantry online, where people can now order food online and put the request in and then come pick it up. So everything was moving to an online platform. And so for me, it was the word interactive. It was the word access. Those words were all intriguing to me. What do we need to do? What do you need from us? And so we were able to get that first mapping, and so we could see how it was going to be created, and they got some information from us, and they put it on we were able to go in and tweak it. Not necessarily tweak it, but actually provide our feedback on, ooh, change these words, or it'd be cool if we could do this, and you know. So it was amazing. UW Parkside's program did amazing. Amazing job. I don't know how many times Javon and Carolyn and their team had to go back and forth, but we didn't feel that pain. We saw an amazing product that we're now using. And when people come in, when they leave, because some people don't want the service, they just want to come in. They can wash their clothes if they're unsheltered at our Hope Hub, or get showers. And so if you're unsheltered and you just want to come in and do that, we're able to now say, well, load this app onto your phone, so that we don't see you for 3 or 4 days and you need something and you can't get here or whatever, you now have another opportunity to go and find out another resource that's maybe closer to you. Wow. So it's an amazing project. And
I should think it's one of these things, too, where it's like, why didn't this exist a long time ago? I mean, it seems like, you know, just an ideal thing to have, and yet somebody had to think of it.
Yeah, and we were thinking of the brick and mortar. We were like bringing them to us, right? Here, United Way was thinking about interactive on online. I don't know why it didn't exist. You know, I guess we'd all be millionaires if we could think of all the. We wouldn't be talking to you this morning.
Right. You'd be on a yacht.
Matter of fact, on a beach. We are getting water today, so I guess it's a little bit.
Yeah, there you
it.
Go. Right.
But no, I just think that, you know, I don't know why, but maybe this is the moment. Maybe there was a reason why, and we don't ever understand.
Sure.
But, you know, it took Carolyn and her team and her leadership, and this is the moment, you know, and that connection with Parkside, Amy, and this class. I mean, and so I'm just happy to be in the moment and be a part of the moment.
Well, and it sounds like maybe this is a moment where technology has gotten to the point where something like this is even more possible than it would have been maybe even 5 years ago, certainly 10 years ago. You maybe could have tried to create something, but it would have been kind of clunky and glitchy and whatever. And now it can be seamless and so effective. And it sounds like you are a true believer in what has come about.
I am. When you're in trauma and you're in chaos and you need assistance, going to 211 is great, but you have to talk to somebody. And if you're not comfortable with, because of your own, you know, challenges or opportunities that you have going on personally, it's nice to be able to just go to a mapping and read for yourself and not have to talk to anybody. And that's another thing that was intriguing to me. I can just go at my own leisure. I don't have to talk to anybody. I can just look at it and find the services that I need and get the help that I need or the support that I need or connect to the resources that are available.
Fantastic. Tamara Coleman, a community partner in this project, formerly with the Shalom Center, now the CEO of the Racine YMCA. Wonderful to see you again.
Thank you for
adding your voice to our conversation.
Thanks
today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So we're going to turn now to Calista Butkiewicz, who was a student in Professor Whitaker's Environmental Studies, GIS, and Communities class. So first of all, Calista, I'm curious to know what drew you into this field in general, and then what specifically drew you to Professor Whitaker's class?
Yeah, so I kind of just got thrown into it. I took a geography class with Dr. Ward my winter term of my freshman year when I was still a business major doing like international studies. And after that, I was like, wow, I really want to get more into like the environmental side of things. And because I took the geography class, I was just like, okay, might as well just do the geography concentration. And then with that, I took two other classes during the summer going into my sophomore year that like provided more of like a GIS base. So then someone was like, hey, try this. Like, it's kind of the new innovation of like environmental studies, and it could make you some more money. So I was like, that sounds awesome. So then I started taking the GIS classes. I think I had Dr. Ward's class first, and then I had a class with Dr. Whitaker, and then the next semester was our GIS and Communities class. So it kind of just all fell into place for me very easily.
Very good. So Professor Whitaker, we've already heard about how this was, this thing called GIS, how it has been implemented in this particular project. But give us a sense of more in general what is possible with GIS. I mean, what this technology is sort of all about in layman's terms, I'm afraid, which is tricky, I'm sure. But, you know, help us understand kind of the way in which this can make all kinds of exciting things possible, including this interactive online map we're talking about today.
Sure. Well, I think as any geographer will tell you, everything happens somewhere. And so everything can be mapped, basically. So we can also then analyze things that are in different places to give us new information that we didn't have before. So I was just talking in class to my students the other day, like, if you had a problem where, okay, I want to map, where's the best place to put a new landfill? There are a lot of different things that you have to consider. You know, how is it going to potentially pollute local waterways? What are the best roadways that are nearby so that garbage trucks can get there easily? Is the soil going to be sort of consolidated enough so that lots of pollution doesn't get into the ground? And each of those things can be a different map layer in GIS that we tie together to give us a new piece of information, which is, okay, now I can choose in an informed way where is the best place to put that landfill that serves its purpose but isn't negatively impacting the environment. Mm-hmm. So that's just one example of how you can tie different spatial information together to find out something new.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think the really tricky thing here is that for a lot of us, a map is a piece of paper mm-hmm. that you buy it, used to buy it at gas stations, and you unfold it and it has all this information just on it, but it's fixed information of a rather basic nature. And of course, what you're talking about is mapping on steroids, sort of. I mean, it's mapping that can be potentially quite complex in the best sense of the word, and where, as you were just saying, there can be various layers of information, and it sounds like those various layers of information can actually be, in a sense, combined. I mean, you can use these different layers collaboratively to come up with something that is immensely useful that also never existed before.
Right. And then, as you had pointed out, more recently, we've been able to include a lot of information in the web so that it's not just scientists who are mapping things, but also this sort of information is now open to the public. And you can also create maps in a way that aren't just maybe providing dots on a map, but are telling a story of those places as well, which is what we were really trying to do with this project and with the Racine Arts Council project we talked about before.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So, Calista, tell us from the student's perspective about how this project took place, and how difficult was it to even grasp what this was going to ultimately be, and what the ultimate purpose of it was, or fairly quickly did that become pretty clear?
Yeah, so it definitely took a while, especially because this course was one of my like early GIS courses, so I wasn't too confident in everything, and I never used story maps before, so it was definitely a learning curve. And the beginning, we had to get like all the information of like what we're doing, who we're working with. So then I was working with the health group and the communicator for that. So I emailed all of the people that were under the health like thing, and yeah, so then I sent the emails out, and like Dr. Whitaker said, I got a Zoom meeting with one of the partnerships that United Way has, and we got some responses through emails. People shared like pictures with us that we might have not been able to get otherwise, and we were able to get a lot of information of like what they wanted to show themselves as and stuff like that. So that was really good to get all that information, and once we had all of that, we were able to like lay out our ideas and how we wanted to continue with the story map. And then we did labs during the class to like get an understanding of like how to actually use the like GIS system and the story maps like interactiveness. So yeah, it was definitely a learning curve, but like by the end we definitely learned a lot and got to a place that we could make a really cool project.
How many students are we talking about who are in this class and directly part of this project?
It wasn't too many. It was,
I think we had 12.
Yeah,
students.
Under 15. Uh-huh. So yeah, 12 mm-hmm. students. So yeah, we were able to break up like evenly for the most part, and then we kind of came together collectively near the end.
Okay. And so everybody in this class was working on this same interactive map. And is that typically how this course is taught, where there is one project that is central to everybody's work?
Yeah. And so as Amy was mentioning before, with CBL, there's sort of like a spectrum of involvement with the community, depending on what your class level is. And this is a 400 level class. So I structure it sort of like in a project management way. So like the whole class is mobilized around this single project. And that's why at the beginning we sort of brainstorm about, okay, how can we best utilize our different strengths and break up into teams to like work toward this problem? And we even like restructured the teams halfway through. Mm-hmm. So once we had done that original research, we were like, okay, now we all have to mobilize into putting this into one single map. And so we decided to make like a text content team, a media and design team, a technical mapping team, because those are all the different aspects that go into the final map. And so we sort of assigned everybody their own role to make sure that they were each learning something new, using the skills that we had, but also making sure everything came together in the right way.
Mm-hmm. How do those assignments get made? Are you putting students where you think their interests are, or are you putting them into roles where you feel like they're going to learn something that they don't, at that point, already know how to do, or is it a little bit of both?
Well, I think in this particular class, there are students with different levels of prior GIS experience coming into it. So I'm very cognizant of that in sort of dividing people up, making sure that at least there was somebody who has like an advanced level of GIS experience to help the rest of their team to make sure that even if they don't have the skills coming into the class, they can gain them throughout the class. But I also made sure that students had choice in what they wanted to be involved in and what they were most interested in pursuing, so that they were passionate about what they were working on and they could pursue something that, you know, sparked something in their brain, and that they could really dedicate themselves to that role.
Mm-hmm. So is this the kind of thing where there are differences of opinion in terms of what would work best, what would look best, or does that kind of matter not come up very much? Is there not a lot of subjectivity involved in putting something like this together?
Calista, I see her nodding over there. There's a huge amount of subjectivity involved, and that's one of the reasons we, in the first part of the semester, we had the three different student groups each making their own map. And they all look totally different from each other. They all like divided things up in a different way. They use different color schemes. One of the things that we tried to do was use United Way's color scheme to make sure that it was going to integrate well with their website. And so we had that in the back of our mind as well. But each student group interpreted that in a different way and visualized it in a different way. And the way that you would navigate it was different. And so we talked amongst ourselves after we presented, and we sort of were like, well, what did we like about each of these maps? Maybe what could we take from each that would combine together? And of course, we also had Javon and Carolyn take a look and say, what works for you? Because I think that's one of the key messages of this class is it's not just the person making the map who should be making those decisions. It's also the people who are going to be on the map in terms of they're going to be mapped and they're going to be impacted by it. So they should be a part of that decision-making process of how it looks.
Right.
And Calista also worked specifically in the second part on the design team. So one of the things was thinking about accessibility as well, in terms of like if somebody is colorblind and they want to try to access this map, are the colors laid out in a way that they can still utilize it? So there's a lot of different things to think about.
Mm-hmm. What is your recollection of that part of this process of this taking shape when it came time to making specific choices about specific matters?
Yeah, so once we got our information or like feedback from Javon and Caroline, we used what they said and like used the theme that we thought they liked most, because they kind of like chose one of the maps that we made, and we went with that one. And then we took like the framework of that and put in like different words that they said they liked from other people's like maps. And then because we each were broken off into different sections, we like compiled everything into one. And then for the accessibility side of things, for the pictures, we had to write the like words for like if you have visual impairments. And then we also made sure that before, when selecting the themes, that like colorblind was taken into play and all of that stuff. So it was definitely important to make sure everything was, like, accessible. And, yeah, just making sure that the design fit all, like, people of life.
Hmm. So, Javon Clausen, what are your recollections of when you and Carolyn and maybe others at United Way got to see maybe the first rough draft and and, of course, also the final project, which had to be exciting?
Yeah, so we were given multiple maps that each of the different teams had worked on. And I personally was so amazed at, like, an idea that came from my head and actually seeing it, you know, on the screen and being able to touch it and move it and things would go around. And the students were so creative in how they put those maps together. It was almost so difficult for us to choose what we wanted from each of these maps because they were so, they were beyond what I thought was capable, even though that's what I was asking for, you know? And so we were just so grateful and thankful. The students were so engaging and willing to work with us and whatever it was that we were trying to get done. And so, yeah, I was very impressed by the work of those rough drafts, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So at what point did this interactive map actually launch?
Yeah, so we finalized sort of our initial version at the end of spring 2024, so May 2024, and we presented that. That was the students' final exam. So we presented that both to United Way, and we invited all the community partners who were on the map to come and see and give us feedback. So there was a period where we were getting feedback and making little corrections that people wanted us to make. And finalizing how it would be embedded in the United Way's website. So I actually had a student intern from the class who stayed on. Her name was Akira, in order to finalize those little details through this past fall 2024. And then we were finally able to launch it in this past December 2024. So now it is live on United Way's website, and you can access it and find those resources that you need.
It's really exciting. So it looks like you click on the link for Community Resource Navigator, and then ultimately by paging down just a little bit, then you find this map. And sometimes things get launched and then things don't go quite right. There's glitches and various problems, but has this been a seamless launch, at least for the most part?
I think so. I think we did a lot of work on the beginning side of things to make sure that United Way was happy with what we were doing and that all the people who were on the map were happy so that there was no surprises when it got launched that people were upset with how things were looking or anything like that or how it worked. So we tried a lot to make sure that went well.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And this, it sounds like this is a, unlike, you know, again, the aforementioned paper map that you buy at the gas station, that when things change, when a facility closes down or moves, this is a map that is relatively easy to alter and update, I would assume.
Yeah, and that was one of the things initially our goal. So I think we ended up mapping about 15 community partners from the United Way. And those were the recipients of the 2023-2024 Community Investment Grants Program.
Correct.
And so one of the things we talked about was we want to expand that in the future as new organizations get grants from United Way so that people can continue to find these resources that are partnering with United Way.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Javon, it sounds like you could not be happier with how this all has worked out.
Yeah, everyone at the United Way is so excited about the launch of this map. United Way being able to give our clientele and members of Kenosha access to resources and a greater understanding of our partners and what they're doing. It's just amazing. It is such a great partnership, and we're so thankful to Dr. Whitaker and her students for what they've done with this project.
Very good. Javon Clausen, Senior Director of Community Impact Operations at the United Way of Kenosha County, Dr. Caitlin Whitaker, Associate Professor of Geography and Anthropology, and Callista Butkiewicz, a Parkside student, a junior in Environmental Studies with an emphasis in Geography. Thank you all for being part of the morning show today and telling this exciting story. It was great to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Tomorrow on the morning show, we talk about the current theatrical production at Carthage College, which is of the great Spanish masterwork, Life is a Dream, by Pedro Calderon de la Barca. It opened last weekend, and there are performances this coming weekend as well. Today is going to be a cloudy and rainy day with a high of 47 degrees, cloudy and cold overnight with a low of 33, continued cloudy, windy, and mild tomorrow with a high of 46 degrees. Friday, we're actually going to see a high temperature of 56 degrees, and we'll see some sunshine as well. A little bit colder over the weekend. Sunshine should continue. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn,